to the plantation life, to become slaves. Many people were killed across the nation. But in this current day and time, we need this information so we can assert our legal rights, so that when we go into court, we can talk about our Aboriginal rights, we can talk about treaties, we can talk about the abridgment of our rights in terms of the court system. The violence against people to this very day are based on these laws that were put forth by the Christian Church.
Absolutely.
So we have to understand that the reason why police are getting off every day for their violence against black communities, the reason corporations can exploit black people, is because these laws are still on the books.
By law, we are not full
citizens of this continent, and we certainly have been separated from our true rights as Aboriginal people. 516-620-3602, $365 for the first Americans or Africans dollar a day pack. I guess we're out of time.
We are. Thank you so much for supporting and for pledging to WBAI. We will continue this discussion in the future. We can only have it because of you. 516-620-3602. Make that pledge. It's $365 for the first Americans were Africans dollar a day pack. 516-620-3602. If you just want the book, it's a pledge of $150. Thank you to Reggie Johnson for engineering the show. Thank you to Dr. David Imhotep for being with us. Thank you to Harry Hubbard. And thank you, Catherine, for doing this with me and taking the chance and being so courageous to come on the air with this information.
And thank you.
I'm Roland Brooks. You are listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, the best radio station you'll ever hear.
From New York City, it's The Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. We have a power-packed show for you today. We played a clip, an audio clip, of things to come the American people are not aware of. And it was not just futuristic. Everything in that clip showed what is being done now. And it's really frightening because it makes a passive public even more passive. And I told the audience, remember, you don't want someone taking advantage of your predicament in life by providing you with nonstop entertainment, nonstop distraction. They even have a new device, Tony, that it exists now where you can think a thought and it can type it out.
Gary, that's been going on for a long time. I saw a program years ago on the Discovery Channel or the Learning Channel, something like that. And they were at that point, this is in the 90s, they were mapping out those very things. That is to say that, for instance, when you think the word dog, it has an electronic signature. No matter what language you think the word dog in, it has the same electronic signature. So they can map out those electronic pulses and what they mean, and therefore read our thoughts, potentially. A friend of mine who was on the Occupy Radio show just last week or a couple of weeks ago posted an interesting post on Facebook. He said, I went into a toy store, and I saw a toy that I hadn't seen since my youth. I picked it up, and I looked at it, and I put it back down. The next day on my Facebook page, there were three ads for it. Very interesting.
There was the former retired president of Apple, and she was being interviewed, and she had a tattoo on her arm.
Mm-hmm.
She said, this is not just a decorative tattoo. There's actually antenna in this tattoo. And she talked about all the things it can do, including factoring in her memory and her thought processes. So now in real time, as you think, it can be typed. And here's what my statement was to the audience. If someone can make life easier, supposedly, it has an access into you. So it's not just that they're providing something, they're collecting data at the same time. So anything that can read your thoughts, and there's now new technology that is smarter than any human, that actually can read your thoughts, and it's inside of you because you've taken that bot to put it in you, the nanotechnology. Something so small, it seems imperceptibly incapable of holding data, and it can hold 10,000 pieces of data. So it was just an interesting discussion about they win when we become passive. Mm. We win when we stay proactive. I said, if you are just one of the people who watch television, read things on the internet, go to concerts, go to movies, you're passive. Sporting events, you're passive. But what if you go out to actually engage in athletic activity? Not to win, just to participate. What if you learn a new language? What if you learn new words? What if you challenge yourself by learning to play an instrument? Where if you play an instrument, try to learn to play something new and original. And that's when you take back the power over them, having that power over you. And then I thought about health. And I was using a study that 50,000 Americans died of malnutrition in a hospital in 1 year. Put in a different perspective, American dietitians and their physicians killed more Americans, or almost as many Americans, in 1 year, about 85%, as were killed in 10 years of the Vietnam War. And we had 58,000 die in Vietnam, 50,000 in 1 year, and not a single word about it. So when it comes to our health, it is so important that we become proactive. And yet, as a society, we're not. About 10% are. That leaves 90% who are not. So when we feel, well, I'm too tired to prepare a meal, so I'll order a pizza. Or I don't want to go to the farmer's market. I don't want to go to the food co-op or health food store. I'll get what I can get, and I really don't care. I'm hungry. I need it. Or we can't get out of our rituals. Well, every morning I wake up and I have to have this, this, and this. We don't ask ourselves what I'm eating and drinking that morning for breakfast or eating for lunch or dinner. That's becoming my cells. Do I want that? Do I want bacon and eggs? Do I want a sausage? And if you've seen any of the commercials, in order to create differentiation, meaning how does Hardee's differ from Burger King, differ from McDonald's, Kentucky Fried Chicken, they have to do something unique. But it doesn't mean that it's better.
A little more horse, maybe.
More. So now you'll get two beef patties and bacon and eggs and cheese, so that the perception is, wow, I'm getting all that. None of it is healthy. It's all diseasing. In fact, I gave this ironic way of looking at going into a hospital. It was all about sugar, and I opened the show about sugar today and how deadly it is, and how I did a lecture 40 years ago with the head of the American Council on Science and Health, and she was using the fact that she was from Harvard, and I wasn't, and that she was associated with Dr. The man I called the cornflakes professor, Frederick Stair, who was always supporting the big cereal companies and the sugar companies. But because he was from Harvard and a chairman of a department, no one ever questioned him. No one ever challenged the veracity of his statements, whether he was real or not. So we were going to have a debate, but he never showed up for the debate live on radio. And Barry Farr was narrating the debate, and we're all sitting there, and we found out he's out playing tennis and doesn't want to be bothered with the debate. Well, yeah, because he would have lost the debate.
Gary, that's very common around here. It's very interesting. When people have challenged us or call us conspiracy theorists on certain topics and we've invited them to debate, they often won't show up. People often ask us, why won't you have a debate? These people won't show up to debate us very often.
Not unusual. And so what I showed the people today was, sugar causes cancer, and there's lots of studies showing that, along with other conditions. So you go into a hospital because of a nutritional condition that contributed to cancer. You're now given chemotherapy and radiation, which are known to be carcinogenic, and then the food they feed you in a hospital is loaded with sugar and meat and processed meats, all of which are known to cause cancer. Well, think of the circle of stupid that represents. At every level, what caused the disease is now being treated with elements that cause disease, and then afterwards, in post-recovery, you're fed with nutrients that cause disease. And no one's willing to break that cycle because you're rewarded for compliance and you're punished for challenge. And it led to the larger question of why aren't we more proactive about our health? So, Tony, what I wanted to do today is I wanted to have our premium today be something that is very proactive, that is for those individuals who really care about their health or the health of others in their life. And that would be a very basic product that was the first of its kind. It's called Green Stuff, and we haven't talked about it in a long time, but it's very basic. And why is it basic? First, because it's a living food. What does that mean? It means that the foods that most of us eat are highly processed or highly cooked. And when you add heat at high temperatures to any food, you alter its DNA. You alter the structure of it. You actually create what is called glycation products. Visualize a chicken, soft and moist, plump, being put into an oven. 2 hours later, taken out, and it's crisp and brown. What has happened in the process of that cooking, you've altered the natural sugars and you've altered the protein in there to where you have all these cross linkages, and this is called glycated end-stage products, meaning it no longer is compatible with the cells of the body, and that can lead to disease. Now, the temperature at which you cooked it creates byproducts called heterocyclic amines. Those are known carcinogens. There's no fiber in it. That can contribute to colorectal cancer. So then you look at what else you had that day. Well, you had a muffin, or you had a bagel, or you had a potato chip, or you had a pizza. You had some pasta. All those are refined carbohydrates. They contribute to disease, not wellness. So something in its natural form, a salad, an apple, a banana, a piece of pineapple, a cherry, the berries, those are contributing to wellness and helping the DNA. They actually alter the DNA and can help repair DNA, the reds in particular. The greens are great for purification of our bloodstream, helping to cleanse and detoxify. And the more chlorophyll you have in a product, the more heavy metals you remove from the body. And heavy metals are major contributors to disease. So if you look at the average person's diet, from what they start in the morning with, generally coffee, that is highly anabolic, and it's very, very bad for digestion. It creates GERD. It creates esophageal reflux, and it's a diuretic. It can take potassium and zinc and magnesium and selenium right out of the body. And it also dehydrates you because it is a diuretic. And therefore, you're not getting enough liquids, and most people don't get enough liquids. And therefore, they walk around dehydrated, and as you're dehydrated, you lose your energy because the cells of the body require water in order to have the proper manifestation of energy for the mitochondria to really function. And hence, when we're dehydrated, we're tired. Most people are dehydrated, in no small part because they're drinking caffeinated beverages that create dehydration. And there's the irony, but I'm drinking a liquid, but the liquid is a diuretic. It's taking out other water from the body that your body needs. Then we end up putting processed foods into our body, out of a can or out of a box, or overcooked or overprocessed. It's denatured, so we suffer as nutritional deficiencies. And those nutritional deficiencies create inflammation, and inflammation affects our brain, our eyes, our heart, our kidney, our lungs, our stomach, our musculature. So then we walk around, our appetite is fine because we're eating our comfort foods and the foods we're used to, but this is not good. The fact that we will occasionally throw in something, that a token food, but that doesn't mean it's organic. It has glyphosate, the same chemical that's in Roundup, and it's been shown to be in the average person's body because 85% of all the crops grown in America have glyphosate on them. Because they're all sprayed. And that's unfortunate because this, according to the World Health Organization, is a proper carcinogen. So if you're the average person, now this is not a judgment about a person's character or intellect or culture or ethnicity. This is purely about the biochemistry of the body. And Tony, I have been blessed with meeting some older individuals in my life who were remarkable human beings. The great Renaissance artist Paul Swan. He was 82 when I first met him. And I would just sit down at the Van Dyke studio and listen to him talk about being a sculptor and a writer and a playwright and a muse and all the things he was in his long and distinguished career. But one day, as I'm walking down there, I see this old man shuffling across the street in this fedora and a black jacket, and he had a little bag coming from the donut store across the street. He lived on junk foods. And I asked him, I said, I'd be happy to give you a healthy diet. He said, no, no, no. He said, I like what I like, and it has never affected my creativity. And I said, you're correct, but I also know some other bright men, Dr. Emmanuel Rivisi, Dr. Linus Pauling, Dr. Abram Hoffer, my own agent, Sarah Dona, one of the grand dames of American literature, who was a radical feminist and Marxist back in the 1920s and 30s and 40s, who helped lead a lot of movements. And here she was, half the day she'd be asleep in her chair because she would have something sweet, and boy, she'd just conk out. Mm. I'm sitting there, I'm doing ghostwriting in her office for some very famous writers. That was one of the first jobs I had in New York, was as a ghostwriter for her at the Writers Literary Agency. And at nighttime, these great old minds, I'm like 22, 23 years old, and these great old minds in the 1920s and 30s and 40s and 50s would come in, Lewis Herber, Melvin Wald, Thelma Nuremberg. I'm talking about great minds. And they would have some of those interesting, stimulating conversations on the body politic and social dynamics and social issues. And they felt angry because they were old and they were in their 70s and 80s and 90s. They were being left out of any movement, like all the movements, the anti-war movement, the 1960s, 70s, fairly well excluded older people, no matter what their pedigree and no matter what their resume was for their social commitment. That was unfortunate. Only a few got in. But these people, in mass, didn't. So they would still come and talk about the issues, but they weren't in their 20s and 30s and 40s and able to go out there and do all the things they had done at one time. They all suffered. They all had diseases. So here I'm sitting there at night, working late, listening to them 10 feet away, have some of those dynamic conversations, but not one of them would give up anything they were doing, whether it was smoking or drinking or eating the wrong foods, and they were all physical wrecks, brilliant minds, some phenomenal minds. And in fact, virtually all the older people that I had befriended as a young person had remarkable minds, but not one of them took care of their health. So we have to distinguish between being a smart person or a good person or a politically aware person or a motivated person or a socially active person and being uninterested or disinterested in our health, in which case then you suffer. And I don't care how big your ego or how big your IQ or how committed you are to a social issue, your commitment to whatever you believe in is going to be limited by your health. So it's just an amazing thing of how many people I've met in my life who were really smart, and yet when it came to their health, not so much. So when I talk about helping people with their health, it takes a discipline and a commitment. It actually takes some real effort to say, okay, I've lived my whole life eating this stuff. I've got to switch over to this. If I don't want the high blood pressure, the diabetes, the neuropathy, the pain, the dementia, the memory loss, I've got to make some changes. So that's where this solution comes in, and this is a really important solution. It is not that everyone's going to change everything. They're not. That's the reality of the life we live today. But at least we can do something that is measurably better than what we have done up to this point, and that is if each morning you simply took a scoop of green stuff, and it's got fiber, it's got calcium, it's got phytonutrients. There's only a small amount of calories in each scoop, only 60 calories. But here's what you're getting. You're getting a very important blend of organic kale. That's one of the best superfoods, and organic barley grass. But also I put in there spinach and parsley and carrots, an oat beta-glucan, and asparagus, and the seaweed spirulina, and celery, and onions, and cauliflower, and cabbage, and broccoli, radishes, broccoli sprouts, collard greens, apples, and with a natural stevia as a sweetener, and pineapple natural pineapple flavor, and that's it. Nothing else. And it's juiced and at low compression, meaning you're not using high RPMs, so there's no heat. And then it's dried at about 88 degrees. So it means that it's a living, raw food. But the water has been wicked off. And so, therefore, what was important in the juice, which came from the whole food, you've now trapped in that dry molecule of the powder. So you got a jar of powder that's raw and natural, that is powerful, that has, let's see, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 different vegetables and a fruit, apples. 17. And if you set down to a bowl of color greens, good luck, you'll chew for about 3 days. And it's very fibery, very pithy. But if you juice that, now you make a juice, 98% of the juice is water. So you wick off the water. What you're doing is you're potentizing it. You're making it more and more and more potent. First you eat it, but that's not as potent because much of it's fiber and going to go right through your body. So you juice it. Now that makes it 100% available. But then you want to concentrate it. You want to get more from it. So you wick off 97% of the juice, which is water, and what you're left with is the 2 to 3% of high-level concentration. So when you get a big 500-gram can, you're getting a lot of the nutrients, the phytonutrients, the chlorophyll, the antioxidants, the pigments, the things that really make a difference, the reason why you would have eaten that food to begin with, if you care about your health. But let's say if you're the average person, Tony, and you say, okay, I'm not going to go on one of Gary Nall's protocols. I just don't see myself doing it. Okay, fine. But I'm willing to do one thing, just one thing. So don't make it difficult. Make it easy, and I want it to taste good. All right? And by the way, the reason I invented this green stuff 35 years ago was for my mother.
Wow.
I went home one time. And I went out to...
Gary, let me jump in here a moment. Let's tell that story on the other side of this pitch. Let me give folks a chance to get in here, and we'll get back to the story about your mother. Folks, we have on the table now green stuff. Now, I'm going to say something impotent, and that is the number, 516-620-3602. You're going to want to get on the phone now. Don't hesitate. This is only an $80 pledge for a one-month supply of Gary Nall's Green Stuff. This is my favorite of Gary's products that I've ever used because every time I use it, I see instant results from using it. I'm not saying anybody else will have any results from it, but my results have been amazing, and among them, more energy, Gary. And again, I haven't jumped on the Gary protocols and done everything that he subscribes and offers. But what I have done is supplemented my diet simply with a scoop of this. And I just put it in water, basically, Gary. Mix it in some water in the morning. Mix it in some water. I did it twice a day at some point. I've done it differently throughout the years. But I'll tell you what, when I have used the green stuff, it has been impactful and instantly so. I mean, within a few days, I see differences in my body. 516-620-3602, an $80 pledge of support to WBAI. It's a supplement, folks. As Gary said, to get the amount of green nutrients that's included in this can, you would have to eat green vegetables for 3 days. That's how much is packed in to one serving of it. 516-620-3602. If you can't get through on the phone line, if they're busy, visit give2wbai.org and make that pledge at the $80 level. You're supporting WBAI. You're thanking Gary Nall for coming on this station as a volunteer, not every day this week, but for 40 years.
41 years,
Gary has been volunteering at this station, and there's something that I teach, Gary, when I'm teaching people radio, and it is about relevancy. Age doesn't matter. What you do doesn't matter. It's, are you relevant? Can you stay on the air and remain relevant for 40 years? Yes, you can. I when I was here before, the number one reason that people would tell me they listened to WBAI was Shocking Blue with Delphine Blue. And what I noted about that show is while Delphine played music from her youth, she also played the music of the day, and there was a nice balance of that, and that means remaining relevant. That's what has happened here on The Gary Null Show. The show evolves, it changes, and it remains relevant, and that's why it's had this kind of impact for 40-plus years. We're asking for you to support that right now at only an $80 pledge of support. And this, with this pledge, you are supporting yourself, your own health, and maybe you want to get this for a family member. Maybe you want to put this into your children's drink every morning. Maybe you want to send them off to school with that. But whatever you choose to do, first choose to pick up the phone, 516-620-3602, or visit givetowbai.org. There is not another show like this one. You have not heard another show like Gary Null's show. It is one of the most progressive programs in this network. You don't get the information on Gary's show that you hear almost anywhere else. There are a few other shows on WBAI that cover some of the topics, but Gary's often ahead of the game. That's what we are asking you to support. That is our mission, folks. We're not here to parrot what the mainstream is saying. We're here to bring you news and stories that no one else is covering, or those same stories from a different perspective than anyone else is covering them. That's what happens on The Gary Null Show every Monday through Friday from noon to 1 o'clock. Support that, please, by picking up the phone, dialing 516-620-3602. It is a dual-edged gift because you also support your own health when you pledge for the green stuff, raw, all natural, 16 vegetables and phytonutrients. You heard Gary list the ingredients. It is green, green, green. Gary, I'm going to say this again, and people ask me about this all the time, but the truth is when I took double scoops of this, within 3 days, people started to say to me, multiple people, your skin is glowing. What are you doing? What's different? Multiple people came to me, and I was like, what's going on? And then I realized I had been taking the green stuff for 3 days, twice a day. And immediately my energy was up, Gary. My skin looked different. I felt better. And I am not suggesting that anyone else will have that will happen for them. But that's what happened for me. And that is why I love the green stuff and why it's one of my favorite Gary Null offerings. 516-620-3602 or visit givetowbai.org. It's only an $80 pledge of support. Maybe you want to get two of them, one for you and one to gift to someone you love. So Gary, you were telling us that you invented this because of your mother. Tell us that story, please.
Yes. I went back home to West Virginia, to Parkersburg. And my mom would not change any of her dietary habits. She smoked, and she smoked because she said that it wasn't bad, or her doctor would have told her to stop. She drank because, again, moderation. As long as you don't get drunk, it's not going to hurt you. She ate highly processed foods, though she didn't eat fast foods, but the foods that she would eat were not healthy. Heavy on the meat, because she came from that school that believed you had to have meat 3 times a day. In fact, growing up, there was this idea that our family was a good working class family because my mother could provide us with a 2-inch steak for dinner. Mm-hmm. Now, why a 2-inch steak, I don't know. I'm just surmising that it was, well, we are conscientious about, you know, our family having a roof over its head, that we had a little, you know, 1,000 square room foot house, mm-hmm. and that we had clothes, we had went to a public school, and we had 3 meals a day. And you've heard the notion 3 square meals a day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the idea was that made you an acceptable part of a working class group of people.
It's wonderful propaganda, Gary, to get you to buy meat.
But because nobody ever questioned any of it ever. And growing up, no one ever questioned anything that doctors or scientists or public health officials ever said. That was kind of like, you don't ever question these people. They didn't get to where they are by being stupid or miscreants. That's what my family would suggest. So, you know, Gary, hold your tongue and, you know, learn from them. And I listened to what they had to say. I just found that they were wrong about everything.
Mm-hmm.
So when I went home once, and I tried to get home as frequently as I can, like once a month, and I'd call my mom every week and see how she was doing. And I heard her voice, and it sounded very weak. So I went home. And when I walked in, and she lived in a trailer, and I walked in, the whole place smelled like cigarette smoke. And I said, Mom, go over what you eat in a day, everything, and how much coffee you drink, how many cigarettes you smoke. So I just sat there, and what? Why? Well, because I want to know. Well, it's all, nothing's wrong with it. I said, just bear with me. Let me know. So she took about 10 minutes, and she went over everything she ate or drank. But it was the same thing every single day.
Mm.
And I said, you're taking in way too many calories. The food that you're eating is not healthy. And it's what precipitated your breast cancer. And please give... She wasn't going to do it. So I left there that day, and she had never opened one of my books. She had my books on a shelf, and she was very proud to show people, oh, there's my son. He's a best-selling author of all these 70 books, whatever the number was. But she would never read one. And I sent her, I would take her bags of vitamins. She never opened one. And I would, there was a little tiny health food store in the town, and I would go and get all kinds of health foods for her, three or four shopping bags. She never wanted, she would give them away because she didn't like the taste of stuff. So for those of you who've had the frustration of trying to help someone that you care about and they're just not having it, I understand that because I live with it with every single member of my family, and including my brothers and my father. So I went back to New York, and while I was on the plane, I came up with an idea. What if I were to create something that I could say, have this in a milkshake, because she wouldn't drink anything but milk. So stir a scoop of this in the milkshake, and it'll do you good, and that's all you have to do. At least that's some health insurance. At least I know that something that was healthy was getting into my mom's body each day. And so I went back, and I began to study the scientific literature on phytonutrients. Now, I'd already, as a scientist, as a research fellow at the Institute of Plant Biology, had already done dozens of studies showing that the quality of the fruits and vegetables that you put into an animal's life, as well as a human's, will extend the life and heal much of what was going on. I was also on the, I was a trustee of Trafalgar Hospital, which was associated with the Institute, was across the street from each other. Fanny Holzman, the great activist lawyer, was also on the board, and we were friends. And I had seen, and what was interesting, I was helping to improve the health of patients at Trafalgar Hospital, starting with my editor, who had terminal cancer, and I didn't know about it. When I found out about it, I immediately went in and gave her a protocol, and it reversed her cancer. So anyhow, so I knew what was needed. But I spent about 6 months till I researched all the scientific literature of, at least at that point, what was known about the phytonutrients in different foods. This is before the term superfoods even existed. And then I realized that eating foods is not the answer. Yeah, we have to eat foods, but it's what's in the food that's important. It's the nutrients. So if you ate a big salad, you'd be full. But where I came from, the salad would be iceberg lettuce and a tasteless tomato, and with some French dressing, and you would taste the dressing, and you'd assume you were healthy. You weren't. There was no nutrition in any of it. So it's the nutrients that we need, and the vehicle to deliver it is generally just what we eat. So what I did was I put together a formula. I then started testing it at my farm upstate New York, the Healing Springs Ranch, which was the only organic teaching farm in New York State. There was one other in the United States, and that was Rodell's teaching farm down in Emmaus, Pennsylvania. But we had thousands of people every summer come up there on the weekends and learn organic farming. And on Saturdays, people would come, and I'd show them everything about seeds and the earth and answer questions. And then I would give them all shopping bags, giant shopping bags, and they would fill it up with produce for free. I'd give them to take home. And if they had a church or synagogue or mosque, I would give them extra. I'd fill up the whole back of their car to give to their congregants as a gesture of showing, you know, that you care about other people, so you give them something to eat that's healthy. And so I began to grow everything up there that I could, that I knew would make a difference. And that was the beginning of this, but I first tried different experiments. I experimented on myself. I found my skin was better. Now, I'm not going to make any claims, so I don't believe in that. I've never made any claims for any of my products. I know what they do, but I'm not going to claim it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll simply say that all of my expectations of what I hope would happen did. I then tried it with my staff. It also worked. I then had a study that I did, and there were 5,000 people who showed up for the study, of which 2,000 ended up being finalists in the study, and that went for a year. And when I saw those results, then I knew, okay, this is something that can really make a difference. And but again, I can't go into any specifics, and I won't. I don't want anyone feeling, oh, you know, just it's an infomercial. It's not.
Well, Gary, what I think we ought to do is give people the opportunity to see for themselves in the same way that I have. And you'd simply do that, folks, by making a pledge of support. It's very easy. You dial 516-620-3602, and you make a pledge of support, an $80 pledge for Green Stuff. That is, again, 516-620-3602. It's also available at give2wbai.org. That's give, the numeral 2, wbai.org. Take a chance for yourself, folks. See if this works for you. Do you eat as poorly as most Americans? Many researchers refer to the standard American diet as sad, standard American diet, because of the way we eat. We are programmed, we are propagandized by commercials, by food. And one of the stories I tell all the time, Gary, in line with what you were saying when they told you to listen to the doctors and scientists, one of the things I say on the air is I remember in first grade walking into that classroom and seeing that food pyramid, and every day you must have meat, you must have vegetables, you must have milk, you must have, and as an adult, when I began to do research, wait a minute, human beings never need cow milk, ever. That was an advertisement to your six-year-old children and five-year-old children to become purchasers of milk. Human beings never need the product, but in every classroom, they showed them that pyramid. Human beings don't need meat necessarily, but it's on that pyramid because your children are being propagandized. That's why this station is so valuable and so important, folks. We can tell you these stories. We can point these things out, and it's up to you to keep this station going. How do you do that? You do it by making a pledge of support. You do it by supporting your own health while you support the station. It's an $80 pledge for Gary Null's Green Stuff, raw, natural, 16 vegetables, and phytonutrients. It is a dietary supplement. We will send it out to you after the fund drive, 6 to 8 weeks post-fund drive. But to get it, you've got to make that phone call first, 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602, or visit give, the numeral 2, WBAI.org. This station and this program takes chances. This station and this program have unique analysis. It gives you unique access to knowledge that you often can't hear anywhere, certainly not in mainstream media. If you're listening on the radio or television to get most of your news, you won't hear many of the stories that Gary covers on his program. You certainly won't hear the perspectives that Gary offers. And that's what your support is for, folks. A voice that is not weighed down by advertising dollars. A voice that is not controlled by corporate interests. voice, a voice that is for and about the people. That's the Gary Null Show. He does this every day from noon to one. Support that, folks. It is a revolutionary and progressive program. That's my perspective. That's my personal opinion. 516-620-3602. We need to hear from you right now. It's only an $80 pledge of support. You're making this pledge to support Free Speech Radio. Don't forget that this is the model that we founded at Pacifica Radio. We went on the air. Our founder, Lewis Hill, said, hey, I hear no anti-war voices. I'll bet you if you give people programming they can believe in, they will send money in and we won't have to sell advertising. That's what we're asking you to do now. From our very founding principles, to support us because you believe in us. 516-620-3602. To support WBAI because you tune in when you know the news is nonsense. You know that you can tune in here and hear a completely different perspective. That's why you support WBAI. Voices that you wouldn't hear anywhere else. Professor Richard Wolf when you tune into WBAI. We've got the new guy, Jerry Otero, on Friday mornings on WBAI. We got Michael G. Haskins in the morning. We got Mimi Rosenberg in the morning and in the evening. There are voices across. Arthur Schwartz, former attorney for Bernie Sanders, who hosts the program here on Mondays at 5 p.m. Those voices are here because for 57 years, you've supported this radio station, folks. Please continue to do so. 516-620-3602. We don't have to make any claims. You can get the green stuff. Try it for yourself and see what happens for you. Try it. That's all. And support your health while you support the health of WBAI. 516-620-3602. Back to you, Gary.
Thank you, Tony. So first I had to tested on myself, which I did, then on people I know who wanted it to be tested, and then on a larger group, and then finally I felt that I had done what I started to. And so I made some and I took it home. The very first person got it was my mother. And I said, just try something. I'm going to put it in your favorite, what's your favorite beverage? Well, coffee's my favorite beverage. She had about 9 cups a day. Imagine that caffeine rush. And I said, well, no, it won't go good in coffee. Well, okay, milk. So I put it in some milk. And I said, what do you think? She said, well, it tastes pretty good. And I said, okay, will you promise me that you'll just have this, even if you don't do anything else about your health, just this each day? And she said she would. And so every month I sent her a bunch to make sure that she took it. In effect, it was my form of health insurance for my mother. And I wish that I could do more, but you have to have a respect for a person's freedom of choice. And if a person says, no, I don't want it, you must ultimately abide by that. You can't force your will, except for children that are under your care. Then it doesn't matter if they don't want to, you know, eat something. If it's important, you have to insist that they do, because the consequences are deadly if they don't. But with adults, you have to stand back and say, okay, I'm doing the best I can to encourage you. So I look at it, Tony, as a health insurance. Is it ideal? No. Is it everything a person should do? Not by a long shot. If a person was exercising and dealing with stress more appropriately with mindful meditation and yoga, if a person was eating a healthy plant-based diet, yes, then you can reasonably expect some outstanding changes. In fact, to show how outstanding those changes could be, WBAI had a fundraiser, and we oversold it. But fortunately, a lot of people, and this is the kind of audience, integrity of the audience we have at the station, they bought tickets to support the station, even though they said at the time, we can't come, but we want to support the station. Can you send us the video? So everyone who attended Plant Codes down at the new school just about 6 months ago, it was packed, and it was oversold by about 25 seats, but they had already told Andrea that we're not all going to attend, and fine, so everyone had a seat. And then people saw a film that they had never seen before. In fact, it had never been broadcast before. In fact, it was the number one hit in every station on PBS where it played. and that was using diet alone, no supplements, just diet, to reverse major diseases. And the doctors themselves all were vegan. So Joel Fuhrman and Gabriel Cousins, the really articulate and committed spokespersons for complementary medicine, all board-certified physicians, but they were all healthy themselves, and they used what they got to be healthy with on their patients and had healthy patients. Now, this should have been really important news because the last person, medical doctor, to show that diet could reverse heart disease, that was over 30 years ago, and that was published in New England Journal of Medicine. It was published in the British Medical Journal, The Lancet, twice. It was published in a journal, and yet no change. The cardiologists, no change. The American Heart Association, no change. And it was remarkable because I went down to film him, the physician doing this, while he was doing it, and I interviewed the patients. And these people all would have been candidates for balloon angioplasty, stents, or coronary bypass operations because they had massively occluded their arteries, including their carotid arteries, goes to the brain. They had heart disease of different forms. And yet, with diet and exercise, he was able to change their entire body chemistry. That should have revolutionized all of medical care. It did nothing. He published it in peer-reviewed journals. It did nothing. He did conferences. It did nothing. Do you know who I'm talking about, Tony?
Linus Pauling?
No. Pauling was not a medical doctor. Pauling was a PhD biochemist, won 2 unshared Nobel Prizes. And he was a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Now, think for a moment. Which doctor, cardiologist, was the first to reverse heart disease using lifestyle, something that was said that was not possible?
Pritikin, maybe? Nathan Pritikin?
No. Pritikin was the low-fat 10% diet.
I'm going to hit on the right name in just a moment, Gary.
You're going to think of it. This man did for medicine what Bannister did for breaking the four-minute mile.
We're running up at the end of the show, so why don't you just reveal the answer there?
No, I'm not going to. I'm going to let you do it.
We're never going to get to it because I'm just going to tell people to call up and wait for me to answer that question. I'll get to it shortly.
So I want to know what I'm curious of people.
I've got 2 other names in my head. Gerson is one of them, but I know that it's Mac.
He was a cancer doctor.
Yes, and I know the name. I know the story. I know the whole thing. I'm just blanking on it currently. I know the entire tale that you just told.
I'll come to it at the end.
Okay.
But in any case,
good. We'll have a cliffhanger.
He and I actually were on a PBS debate together,
mm-hmm.
where we were on the same side, and all these other medical doctors were on the other side, and that was a PBS national debate. And I said to him, I said, "You have done something that should be a paradigm changer." And he said, "I know, but what's happening?" Well, some of the public was interested and follow his protocols using diet, plant-based diet, but all the doctors who I filmed, 23 doctors I filmed
mm-hmm.
for Plant Codes, all of them had gone to a plant-based diet,
mm.
and they all knew him, and he inspired them because he was the first to do it. So it was no longer a matter of science or good medicine. Can you reverse heart disease or cancer or obesity or diabetes with a plant-based diet? The answer is unequivocally yes, and all the science is there to back it up. The very thing we've been talking about on this program on BAI for 41 years. But the fact that you have a truth does not mean that everyone's going to align with it. If they're going to align with their conditioned response, their perceptional response, the power in their field is where ultimately most will align.
Mm-hmm.
And we only allow one truth at a time, and that's unfortunate. So when I created Green Stuff, at least I knew that I was doing the best that I could, honoring a plant-based diet, of getting maximum nutrition into a person. And there was Dr. Martin Feldman used Green Stuff every day, himself personally, but also he advocated for his patients. Dr. Chris Calliope, there are a lot of physicians. These were both personal friends, so I can mention their names. There are others who are professional friends, but not personal friends, so I won't mention. But they also know that their patients, even under their direction, will not make all the change they need. So this is kind of like the health insurance. So in a world that is ideal, you can do it without green stuff. But in the world we live in, most people are not going to have 17 different fruits or vegetables with a fruit each day.
That's right.
They're not going to have a lot of chlorophyll each day, maybe none. They're not going to have all the servings of fruits and vegetables each day. In fact, they don't. Nutritional deficiencies are rampant. Now, you could be a Supreme Court justice. You can be a top lawyer. You can be a top actor. You can be a scientist. You can have all the different acclaim in the world, but it doesn't mean that you're making the right choices with your body. So then we hear about famous people who come down with disease and then succumb. And I'll tell you who was big into it, green stuff, was Dick Gregory. Dick Gregory was a close friend of mine. And in fact, I helped Dick on a lot of different levels at different times in his life. And as he said, had he been into health earlier in his life, he would have lived a much longer life. But he was a philosopher. He was an articulate spokesperson for the human dynamic, what we do that we shouldn't and what we should do. And he was an advocate par excellence.
I'll tell you what, Gary, let me mention this little factoid, too. A whole industry sprung up after you invented green stuff. If it's ineffective, why did so many companies copy what you did and
they
try
all
to
did.
Recreate? You were the first person to create this kind of item. Everybody jumped on the bandwagon and started to try and bite your style. Everybody came after you and tried to build it because of its effectiveness. 516-620-3602. We only have a few minutes left, folks, for you to get your own 1 month supply of Gary Null's Green Stuff. It's an $80 pledge of support to WBAI at 516-620-3602 or give to WBAI.org. 516-620-3602 or give to WBAI.org. That's give numeral 2 WBAI.org. Make that call right now. We have just a few minutes left in this hour. We're going to get back to Gary with the answer to the cliffhanger shortly. But first, we've got to light up these phones because our focus here is supporting WBAI, the radio station that provides a microphone and a platform for voices like Gary Null's, the radio station that provides a platform for the people in this city. And I don't know if you've been listening to Arthur Schwartz's program on Fridays at 5 p.m., but definitely tune into that if you have not heard it, because he's covering national politics as well as local politics in a very cool way, in a less than esoteric way. Sometimes we talk about esoteric topics here on WBAI. He's doing a very practical, down-to-earth radio show that you ought to tune into covering that sort of thing. But that's why WBAI is here, folks. That's why we ask you to send your dollars in so that we can cover. Did you know that the Democrats in the New York State up in Albany have ceded their power over to the Republicans? That was covered on Friday morning's morning show with Mr. O. His contributor Janos gave us that report just last week. Those are the kinds of things you find out here that you're not hearing so much in the mainstream. Why WBAI matters. Why this station must be here. Make that call. 516-620-3602. The website, give numeral 2, WBAI.org, the item. It is called Green Stuff. It's 16 vegetables and phytonutrients put together by Gary Null. Gary was the first person to do this. You heard in this program, he invented this because his mother wasn't eating healthily, and he thought, if she's not going to change her diet, I'm going to give her something that can support what she isn't doing. And he came up with the Green Stuff. And it is available to you for just an $80 pledge right now. Included in it is a proprietary blend of organic kale, organic barley. We're talking about barley grass, spinach, parsley, carrots, all kinds of fruits and vegetables. It would take you, again, about 3 days to eat them all. Nobody eats this many servings of vegetables and a fruit in one day, or very few people do it. It would be very difficult. You can scoop it into your favorite beverage, mix it up, swallow it down, and see if it does anything for you. 516-620-3602. That is our phone number. That's the lifeline to WBAI. It's the number that keeps us going. Your $80 pledge of support means everything to us, folks. I know it sounds like a nominal amount. I know it's a small amount, but WBAI is on a lower budget than most other radio stations. So every one of these pledges matters to us. Every one of these pledges counts. And what we do is we take your $80 and we stretch it into 50,000 watts of people power. 516-620-3602. Become one of those people that powers WBAI right now by picking up the phone, making that pledge, standing up for free speech, standing up for your own health in this case. An $80 pledge of support for Gary Null's Green Stuff. 516-620-3602. And Gary, we're running up against it. Why don't you give us our punchline?
The gentleman who was the banister of medicine who set the whole new paradigm was Dr. Dean Ornish.
That's right. And I've heard you say this on the program before, of course.
Yeah. And virtually every single physician that I filmed said that Ornish was a major, major factor in them accepting a plant-based diet could reverse disease. So Green Stuff, and as you said, everyone else has copied Green Stuff. In fact, at a National Health Conference Expo, I was walking down the aisles, I was out in Anaheim, so I went by, and a guy stopped me from a big company. He said, "Hey, Gary," he said, we got this great green product." And he laughed, and he says, "And you know what your formula?" I says, "You can't patent formulas, and I don't do marketing, and I don't do sales, and I don't have, you know, catalogs and all that stuff. I love inventing, but that's it." And he said, "Well, thank goodness you love inventing. Keep inventing, because what you invent, we copy." That's the reality of the world we live in. It's not going to change. I'm not going to go out there marketing anything tomorrow that I created today. My love is in creating, and then let the universe do with it what they want. But at least the people in this audience, if you want the best that I can do of getting as many vegetables in your body as possible in the finest quality, the highest potency, then Green Stuff will help you. I make no claims. I've never made a claim. And the money goes to the station, not to me. And that's the way it works. So please call the station, support the station. And tomorrow at noon, you're going to hear a powerful discussion on the environment, the entire hour, about how long do we have before different parts of our society are so disturbed and so disrupted by the environment that quality of life no longer exists for those people. You won't want to miss Kevin Hester and I tomorrow at noon.
Fantastic. Gary, we're so grateful for you. Thank you for continuing to support WBAI in all of the ways that you do. Thank you for your 41 years of volunteer service to this great radio station. And thank you for being here this afternoon. And folks, we'll hear from Gary again tomorrow at noon. As he said, right now, I want a few more of you to get on the phone and make that call. 516-620-3602. It's Gary Null's Green Stuff, an $80 pledge of support. It is raw. It is all natural. It contains 16 vegetables and phytonutrients. It is a dietary supplement. You add this because the American standard diet is indeed sad. And what we need to do, folks, many of us, is to supplement what we're doing. If we're not going to change over to a plant-based diet, something that we can do is to supplement our diet with the nutrients from these plants. That's what this Green Stuff is all about. Again, Gary invented it for his mother because she wouldn't change her diet to eat healthfully. And this is what came out of that. Everyone has copied Gary. Everybody has stolen or tried to steal from him this very same thing. But you got the originator, the original, the OG right here. That's Original Gary Null right here on WBAI. 516-620-3602. 30 seconds left for you to make that phone call or visit givetowbai.org. That's give, the numeral 2, wbai.org. Please stay tuned for more Fun Drive programming. But in the meantime, dial us at 516-620-3600.
Throughout the month of January, New York City's Office of Media and Entertainment presents Jan Arts NYC, the largest music festival in the world. The public can enjoy innovative works hosted around the city. Arts organizations include Chamber Music America, the Public Theater Under the Radar Festival, Prototype, Opera Theater Now, International Society for the Performing Arts, Joyce Theater's American Dance Platform, American Realness, Performance Space 122's Coil Festival, NYC Winter Jazz Fest, Wavelengths, APAP Music World Pre-Conference, APAP NYC 2018, and Global Fest. For more information, janartsnyc.org. That's janartsnyc.org.
Little girl, why are you so sad? It's almost time for Christmas.
My family doesn't celebrate Christmas.
Oh, Jewish?
Uh-uh.
Muslim?
Uh-uh.
Buddhist?
Nope. My family doesn't practice any religion, and we don't believe in things that are supernatural.
But haven't they heard? There are many ways to enjoy and celebrate Christmas that are completely naturalistic.
Really?
Really! And this Christmas, they can learn all about having a perfectly wonderful naturalistic Christmas on Equal Time for Free Thoughts Naturalistic Christmas Special.
Naturalistic Christmas Special?
That's right!
When?
From 3 to 5 on Christmas Day.
3 to 5 Christmas Day!
Right here on 99.5 WBAI.
You're listening to WBAI, New York, 99.5 FM. My name is Bill Samuels, founder of NYPeoplesConvention.org. WBAI is New York's leader in progressive talk. Whether the issue is prison reform, education reform, the legalization of marijuana, or women's rights, the people's issues are covered on these airways. So stay tuned for the best and leading-edge progressive ideas and analysis. And remember to support independent media financially.
Let me open my mic. Oh, first I have to bring the mic over to me. It's one thing to open the mic, and it's another thing to talk into the mic. Can everybody see now I'm talking? Who is that? That's Matt from the... Okay. Yes, Matt the volunteer. Hi, exactly. Yes, that's how you will be perennially known. Anyway, I should say that people are tuned to listener-sponsored, non-commercial Pacifica Radio in New York City, WBAI, broadcasting at 99.5 FM, and over WBAI.org, and in addition, on Facebook Live. Yes, we are everywhere, so... Ubik has arrived. Let us start the music. And wolves are music.
Thank you.
Good morning. This is Hour of the Wolf, a weekly program dedicated to science fiction, fantasy, imagination, and enchantment. My name is Jim Freund. This morning, it's a freeform show. Although I do have some interesting recordings and stuff, including an interview with a woman who is actually a representative of science fiction from China. And there'll be a movie review right after this music. So stay tuned, and if you are on Facebook, go to my page, Jim Freund, at Facebook Live, and you can do it. Oh, that's Lily Collins from Logan's Run. Okay, anyway, stay tuned.
I'm Dan Persons, movie reviewer for Hour of the Wolf. I had an idea watching the new Disney/Pixar film Coco. I wanted to see if the level of quality of a Pixar film was at all relative to its story being some form of odyssey, being about characters being displaced by means either magical or practical, and then having to get back to home and frequently family. Pixar uses the structure a lot, and sure enough, Toy Story, Toy Story 2, Finding Nemo, Inside Out, all are odysseys, and all are excellent. Monsters, Inc. is a variation on the theme, with the protagonist helping someone else get back home. Meanwhile, A Bug's Life, Cars 2, and Brave don't hold to the structure, and are generally regarded as the lesser Pixar films, Cars 2 being considered the worst. But I have to admit, I haven't seen Monsters University or Cars 3, so I don't know if that crown has been stolen away just yet. The theory doesn't hold up in any case. Ratatouille, The Incredibles, Wall-E, and Up aren't odysseys, although some people may argue the point with the latter two, and all are great Pixar films. Finding Dory is an odyssey, and is not likely to make one's list of top 10 Pixar films. Or not mine, at least. The Mexican-themed Coco, about a young boy, Miguel, voiced engagingly by Anthony Gonzalez, so desperate to enter his village's Dia de Muertos music contest that his attempt to steal the guitar of the town's martyred hero zaps him into the land of the dead, is clearly an odyssey, and an eye-popping one at that. Anyone who was disappointed that Guillermo del Toro's The Book of Life's sojourn into the land of the dead lasted all of something like 15 minutes, will have nothing to complain about here. The Pixar artists have created a colorful, towering world, one of shadows and darkness yet strikingly vibrant, evocative of the contrast between the acknowledgement of mortality and the celebratory embrace of the importance of remembering those who have come before that characterizes Day of the Dead festivities. As in the best Pixar films, the characters and plot beats all flow organically from the situation, rather than feeling like TV writers have layered the gags on. The characters, most especially Miguel's family, both in the tangible quote-unquote real world and the skeletal ancestors in the land of the dead, have their motivations and are sympathetic even when their goals are at odds with Miguel's. But here's the interesting thing. I went through a fair bulk of Coco going, yeah, this is good, which is fine, and also, I think, a remnant of having been burned by Book of Life. And then it changed, and a large part of that has to do with the character Miguel turns to for help guiding him through the land of the dead, Hector, voiced by Gael Garcia Bernal, who starts off in goofy sidekick mold. We first see him trying to sneak over to the land of the living, dressed as Frida Kahlo, but attains considerable gravity as the film progresses. The transition is anticipated early in a lovely scene where he goes to retrieve a guitar from a companion who is doomed to fade away because his memory is similarly fading in the world of the living, and that metamorphosis is cemented in the third act, when we learn that the comical circumstances of his death weren't comical at all, and discover the real reason he has been prevented from traveling into the world of the living for Dia de Muertos festivities. And I don't want to give away too much about that, but let me note that it's impressive how, similar to Hector's growing stature, stuff that seemed like throwaway gags at the beginning of the film gained considerable significance the more the story progresses. And now, I want to explore how characters who appear silly and dismissible in Pixar films grow in our estimation over the course of the story. Think about Buzz Lightyear's epiphany watching a commercial for himself in the original Toy Story, or sweet, sad Bing Bong in Inside Out. It doesn't always work. We do have Mater in the Cars movies to deal with. But when it does work, as it does in Coco, it's heady stuff. Which is my way of saying I was crying like a baby at the end of Coco. The film is wonderful and is worthy of standing with the likes of Inside Out and Toy Story 2 as among Pixar's best. And while I'm here, I wanted to address something that was raised a few weeks ago when Jim Freund and Matthew Kressel were enthusing over Blade Runner 2049. In the course of that discussion, a comparison was made to Stanley Kubrick's 2001 A Space Odyssey, specifically likening the deliberative use of screen time in Blade Runner to what Kubrick did with 2001. First off, let me just point out that not all analogies are created equal. Some are offered because comparing one work to another well-known work simplifies the job of illustrating whatever point you're trying to make. I try to avoid this, not really successfully, because it's too easy and out. And it's also something that's frequently done within the film industry itself when developing projects. It's like Jurassic Park meets Bring It On, that kind of stuff. And that gets me antsy. But there are also comparisons that are not deployed just for illustration's sake. And I think when Jim and Matt are invoking 2001, it comes with a suggestion that Blade Runner 2049 is at or close to the mastery of 2001 A Space Odyssey. In my review, I noted that opinions of Blade Runner will vary, and I won't deny Jim and Matt their judgments. Not that they let me do that to begin with, but their takeaways are what they are, and I respect that. But no, sorry, Blade Runner 2049 is not the next 2001. And part of that has to do with why Kubrick paced 2001 the way he did. As much as anything, 2001 is about humanity's place relative to the universe, the whole immense universe, and what happens when we're suddenly confronted with a perspective beyond our cozy, Earth-centric one. Kubrick uses a number of techniques to illustrate that theme without directly addressing it through the use of editing, most prominently in the cut from a bone cudgel being hurled into the air to a shot of an orbiting nuclear device, through repetition that isn't really repetition, and through pacing, through suggesting the vastness of the universe by taking the screen time to show things happening at length. There's a reason for the deliberative pace, and I would suggest that Chris Nolan's Interstellar, a very intentional follow-up to 2001, does the same thing with screen time for exactly the same reasons. I don't detect that kind of motivation with how Blade Runner 2049 uses screen time. Nothing is illuminated in its use of pacing. It's a stylistic decision which is fine in and of itself, but it serves no thematic purpose. And that's a big difference. Jim and Matt talk about Blade Runner and 2001 being immersive experiences. I use the term experiential, but it pretty much comes down to the same thing. But living within the cinematic reality of 2001 brings one to a heightened awareness of humanity's place in this vast universe. Blade Runner does no such thing. Kubrick had a point, Blade Runner director Denis Villeneuve, in my humble opinion, does not. At some point, I might revisit Blade Runner 2049 and try to watch it both knowing what kind of film I'm taking on and also in light of what Jim and Matt have discussed. I might change my mind about the film, which I did think had numerous points in its favor, but some prominent flaws. But I'm on the fence about whether my opinion is going to be dramatically altered. I will reiterate my suggestion that if you're at all interested in seeing the film, you should. It's not out yet on home video, and I agree with Jim and Matt that screening in a good theater